Welcome to another episode of Over Ask, hosted by myself and now the Broke Agent as well. He's come on and he's started to host everything. It's also presented by the Broke Agent. Yeah, hosted by us, presented by the Broke Agent. Today we have a extremely special guest. We're excited to have him. We almost didn't have him because we had so many technical difficulties, but Jason Pantana is in the house. He's a coach speaker with Tom Ferry. We are so excited to have you on, Jason. Thanks so much for being here.
Man, I'm excited to be here. I love both of y'all's content. So thanks for having me. This will be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, I appreciate it. That's amazing to hear from you. People who don't know you, can you give a quick elevator pitch? Who is Jason Pantana?
Sure. Jason Pantana. I live in Nashville, Tennessee with my wife and two kids. I'm a business coach and speaker with Tom Ferry. I've been working with Tom for about the past 5 years. Love the company. I lead events that tend to focus around marketing, all things marketing, mostly social and digital marketing. And I coach about 40 clients personally of Tom Ferry coaching clients. So my life is just every day, all day. It's about helping agents, teams, in some cases, firms, brokerage firms, just really level up their businesses, specifically using social media marketing style tools to do so. And that's a nutshell of that's me. It's enough of me.
I didn't know you were in Nashville.
I am. I live in Nashville.
That's sweet. We just had one of your clients on yesterday on the podcast, Taya DiCarlo.
Oh, did you have Taya on? She's so awesome. She's really crushing it right now. That's great.
I jokingly said to her, because we went through her social media and she has incredible variety of IGTVs, reels, carousel, carousel posts, just everything. And I said, like, who's your coach, Jason Pantana? Because I see you preaching all of this stuff on social media. And she said, actually, yes. I don't know if that's a private thing that she's your coach. So
No. It's really a privilege to get to coach her. It's true of all my coaching clients. And I can't take sole credit. Like, I've had influence in what she's doing, but man, she's a rock star in what she's doing. One of the best I've ever seen in terms of just being on video and crushing it with her marketing. So That's really a privilege on my part to get to coach her. The fact that she gave me any credit by even naming me is something that I'm humbled by.
Yeah, that's what we said. It's like a picture perfect real estate profile for social media. She's got it all. She's got personal, business. She's doing the reels, IGT, everything. I mean, it's really good.
She's an agent influencer, and that's a lot of what I preach and talk about. Just in general, is this is a relationship business, and so because it's a relationship business. And we use social media as one of the primary channels, especially over the past 12 months, to communicate with sphere of influence contacts, past clients, people who don't know you, they're moving the town or whatever it is. And so you got to be able to put on display that brand that is you. It's a relationship business. And Taya does, and among other folks in our ecosystem, like Glenda Baker, I'm thinking of Scott Sacken. I'm thinking of so many amazing clients who do really just that. They put on display their personality, their brand. And people are like, hey, I know you, I like you, I trust you, I want to work with you. That's the name of the game. It's an agent influencer world that we're living in right now.
Right. So you started with Tom 5 years ago?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you get hooked up with Tom? And how has your coaching kind of strategies changed? Because a lot has changed in the 5 years.
Sure.
In the business. So yeah, how did you get hooked up with Tom? So, how has coaching changed?
I got hired by Coldwell Banker Corporate, Realogy, in 2013. They reached out to me. I was living in Nashville, and they brought me on as their director of learning for their headquarters for the franchise brand side of Coldwell Banker, which was an amazing opportunity. Great people, wonderful company. I moved up there, and I was responsible for a lot of the live learning. So, like, we did our national conferences, our regional events, and they had me out on the road speaking, emceeing, hosting, things like that, but also planning a lot of the events. And my boss was like, hey, book Tom Ferry for this event. And I was like, okay, I had never met Tom Ferry before. It was an event somewhere in, I think, like Sacramento or something like that. And so we booked Tom Ferry. I talked to his people. And at that point, I had never heard Tom speak before. I didn't know who he was. And I went out to the event. I kicked off the event. It was a packed ballroom at a hotel convention or whatever. And Tom goes on stage and I was like, whoa. I was like, I didn't know anybody like this existed in real estate. I mean, he's like nobody you've ever heard speak before in the way he connected the audience. And I was just a young speaker trying. I was like, oh, I want to be like that guy. Yeah. That dude's amazing at what he does. And so we would book him for a lot of our events over my time with Coldwell Banker. And there was this running joke at the company, like behind the scenes, they're like, yeah, Jason's going to end up leaving us to go work for him. And I was like, no, guys, stop it. I'm not going to do that. I'm here to stay. And then within a couple of years, I had done exactly that. I actually relocated back to Nashville because I can live wherever I want to live when I work with Tom, which is one of the nice perks. And I was put in touch with them, talked to their people, and started coaching and speaking with them about 5 years ago. And it's been a ride. To the second part of your question, how have things changed from a marketing standpoint? I want to think about that question because candidly, I don't know that I think from what I've been coaching to, I don't think a lot's changed. I'm not trying to like act like I've been preaching this for years and I was always right. It's just social media marketing has always been what I've talked about. I think what's changed is how many people are listening and how important it is in terms of just agents being positioned powerfully. Because social media marketing has been like the crux of what I teach forever and always. Now it's just working more and it's much more advantageous and it makes people a lot more money than it perhaps used to, I think. And there's so many more examples of agents and teams who are just flat out killing it on social.
Yeah.
Social media has definitely changed a little bit also like within each app because Instagram keeps adapting all these new technologies or evolving with Reels and IGTV and YouTube Shorts and everything. So we definitely want to get into that, but I just want to touch upon one thing you said. Like when you heard Tom speak for the first time, when I was a brand new agent, this is before the broke agent, when I was 24 years old and I was a buyer's agent, the team that I was working for sent me to a Tom Ferry conference. And I did not want to go. I was like, I don't want to go just hear this real estate coach talk. I don't even want to be in real estate. I don't want to listen to this. And right. Like you said, it was inspiring. And the way the crowd interacted with him and the way the community is built around Tom Ferry with all the coaches and all of his clients, you know, Taya, Byron, Tom Tool, all these guys and girls that I've met like at dinners with you. I've been at one dinner with you, but I didn't sit. I've gone to a bunch of dinners.
When you pluralize it, it sounds better.
Sounds cooler.
We also did do a podcast with Byron and we were there together.
Right. That's true. But the community you guys have built around the coaching experience is fantastic. And then also just the way the crowd gets so fired up. He plays Zombie Nation. It's like a playoff game beforehand. People are jumping up and down, going crazy. Matt, I don't know if you've seen these videos, but
I've never seen Tom live.
I had this crazy experience. It was 2019. We did the summit. Obviously we didn't do it last year because it was just virtual. We didn't do it because of COVID and everything. In 2019, my wife and kids flew out. We're going to do Disneyland after the event was done. So they had never been to an event. They had never met Tom. They never gotten to really see what I get to do. And I remember walking them into the room and they were playing Zombie Nation.
Yeah.
They were playing it. And I was like, this is my job. This is what we get to do. And it was freaking awesome. 6,000 agents going nuts. And you know, when you talk about 6,000 agents going nuts, that sounds really boring, but then you send a 23-year-old agent is like, oh my goodness, the potential is unlimited. I can be a part of a network of people who inspire me, who are all motivated to achieve the same types of goals as me. And I think it empowers you to really make the most of this business. Yeah, there's nothing like Tom Ferry coaching. And from the moment I met him, I was like, this dude's awesome. And I think that's just been with everybody. Anybody who meets him, all of his coaches, they rally around him because the dude's awesome.
Yeah, he took an interest to the broke agent early on also, because we started this in 2015 and I was making fun of real estate coaches consistently because it's just an easy topic to do. It's just like, oh, a bunch of like fake motivational people just, you know, who possibly didn't sell real estate or all of a sudden real estate coaches, like what's going on?
Well, we'll get into that too.
Which is happening a lot.
Right, of course.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into that, yeah.
But Tom had such a great sense of humor and reposted some of my content and then invited me into his office and has been kind of like a mentor, you know, throughout this journey of content creation and just having the backing and knowing that someone that's so successful in the industry has supported the broke agent has been incredible. And then also just interacting with
the broke agent
6 years ago.
Okay. Cause I've been following it since it started. I'll sit there and look at your post. And now Matt, I'm looking at your post too. And I'll be on my phone. I'll just be laughing out loud, like just hysterically laughing. Cause the stuff you do is amazing.
Thank you.
And my wife would be like, would you shut up? What are you laughing at? I'd be like, they're just so funny. I'm super grateful for the work you guys do. It really does bring a fun sense of humor to our industry. And if we can't laugh at ourselves, what's the point? We should be able to laugh at ourselves.
Exactly.
But you've been, you've been doing, yeah, like a lot of social stuff. I love watching your profile too. A lot of people think I'm just like, and Eric too. I mean, there's a misconception that we're just like, you know, joke around assholes all the time, but we, yeah, assholes, but we love seeing like great, like educational videos and just good content in general. So you do that so awesome. And
thanks, man.
Clearly, I mean, you know, I mean, we just had Tay on, like I said, and it's rubbed. I know you are not taking credit for it, but I'm sure there's been some inspiration there. And I think it's cool to see, because a lot more agents now are really, like you said, seeing the power of social media.
And they are. And like, really, and that's being a coach. Being a coach is, I'm on the sidelines, not to use the sports metaphor stuff of coaching, but it's applicable, obviously. I'm not the one on the field, quote, quote, sports metaphors. But, you know, you see these, and that's what I like about Tom Ferry's ecosystem, is there's so many amazing agents out there doing incredible things. The ability to kind of gain that inspiration and see what they're doing and rip off and duplicate is just further easy to do. And so when you're coaching, it's like, hey, try this, try this. There's just lots of options, which is why I can't take credit for all the stuff. I can point and say you should do that, but then they go do it, and that's the end of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just crazy. Like, I had a reel, like my last reel just got 60,000 views, and I always say to people, like, go knock on 60,000 doors, see how that goes for you, and see how long it takes.
No kidding. Yeah, and reels, I mean, to Eric's earlier point, like, reels are just, they're special, but Instagram's always evolving their content mix, which short form video has been, I would say, probably the latest emerging need for a media format that conforms to short form video, like TikTok, reels. YouTube Shorts is currently in beta, so it's rolling out. I think it's only a matter of time before all the other major platforms adopt some type of a multi-clip short form video content thing or another. So it's, you know, it's always an ever changing, evolving subject matter. And I would say that the role of video, I guess, going back to your earlier question, what's changed is, I would say, the inescapability. I'm not sure that's a word, but the inescapability of video has certainly changed. I remember there being a point of me just kind of thinking contemplatively, like, why do I talk so much about video? Why do I, and they're real estate agents. I'm talking to agents, and I'm talking to them like they're Hollywood actors making videos. But then it's to your point, Matt, like, go knock on 60,000 doors and then report back to me on how that goes. And you quickly realize why video matters so much, because it is the format of choice for every social platform there is out there. And if that's true, when we know social media is the place to really build your brand as an agent, then it looks like you're out of room to make any kind of choices against doing video. You've got to be all in on video. And that's why it matters.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's great for real estate agents too, because real estate agents have so much content to produce, whether it's property tours or educational videos. The fact that there's been this evolution away from just listed and just solds and kind of these templates and just posting market updates has been really fun to see, that agents are becoming so much more creative. And I think, you know, your coaching sphere has a lot to do with it by, you know, giving examples of what they should post. And I remember at the Tom Ferry Summit, he was saying to do something like once a week or something like that. I'm not doing a great job of describing this, but I remember Carrie White did this, where she's doing her IGTVs every single week, and she has Carrie TV. Taya has Taya 2 Cents, and everybody's kind of creating their own little media company and their own shows. And it's really fun to see that, because that content is great, because everybody wants to know the information about buying a house eventually or selling a house, because we all deal with it at some point.
Well, it's beyond information. Like, I was having a conversation, I forget when or where, I've probably said it more than once, but I was, you know, a lot of people will say, but it's just real estate, it's boring, nobody wants to watch that stuff, don't just talk about houses and stuff. And then, so you've seen in the past agents who have bought into that notion, and they're like, well, I'm going to do like restaurant interviews with restaurant owners and things like that, just like Food Network or something. And I think to myself, that's great. I mean, I have no problem with that in terms of being like the local expert. But if you look at like the National Association of Realtors report last year in terms of why people chose their agent, I think their knowledge and stuff about the local community and hotspots and stuff was like 1% of the rationale behind why they hired an agent. They hired them for their competence above and beyond anything else in their experience. Now, I'm not saying those things are bad, but then I asked the question, like, all right, tell me, what do people watch more of? Food Network or HGTV? And I don't actually know the answer. I haven't seen the ratings, but I think the point is self-evident that it's probably a pretty close tie if you had to take a guess. And so I think that conversation is for anybody who's on the fence of real estate content and videos boring. What am I going to talk about on video? It's real estate. Nobody cares. I'm like, look at HGTV. I mean, how many people sit around staring at the tube, watching that all day, every day? And how many people are surfing through Zillow or Redfin or whatever when they're at work because all they're thinking about is real estate? I think we're holding the keys as far as real estate agents go in terms of content that people have a massive appetite for. So my thought with video is, and I think Tom, he's been saying it for years, you need a once a week video show.
That's what it is.
A once a week video show. Give the real estate news. I mean, I think about Tom Tool. You mentioned him before. He's had Tom's Take for years. He's been doing it for a long, like since Tom said it, because Tom is highly coachable, Tom Tool. He just did Tom's Take. And it's basically real estate news, updates, market news, whatever he wants to talk about, anything goes real estate. And his position him as a knowledge broker. And so I think that every agent should adopt at a minimum a once a week video show. I was talking to my client today. It's like real estate with enter your name. It doesn't have to be creative beyond that. That's it.
Yeah. A lot of alliteration. Tool time with Tom. There's Tay's sense. Everyone's kind of using good. That.
If you can get a clever name, hooray. Yeah. Get a right. clever name. But if you can't, don't let that stop you.
Yeah.
So with your expertise with social media, IGTV obviously was huge when it came out, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah, about
and,
that.
And I started doing IGTVs with the Broke News Network for a little bit. And I noticed the engagement was just nothing compared to what I was doing with Reels. So are you seeing kind of a drop off in IGTV? Obviously, when Instagram comes out with a new feature, they kind of push that content more. But I feel like people's attention spans are next to nothing at this point. So are the IGTVs becoming kind of out of style, or do you still recommend? I know you just said you did.
I still recommend them. You know, I have some of my own subjective data that I'm kind of crunching in my head about that stuff. So one, you're right. They're always going to push the new feature. Reels has been the latest feature. I'm actually starting to see a slight dip in that from just based upon my own feedback from clients and stuff. But I think TikTok went through that too, where, hey, all of a sudden my videos aren't getting anything. And then poof, it turns back on and they're doing fine. So I expect that'll probably happen. First thing I would say in terms of engagement is you have to define how we're measuring it. A view on a reel is not the same as a view on an IGTV. A view is just a term they give to it. But like, I'm actually doing some research on I haven't published it yet, but I'm working on some content on what's a view, because a TikTok view versus a YouTube view versus an IGTV view, they're not measured by the same amount of attention at all. Mm-hmm. Like for example, a TikTok view is basically an impression, and that's all that it really is. A view on YouTube is highly detailed. And it's scrubbed. And in fact, if you have a video that gets over 300 views, it goes into like a manual review to confirm the views, because they're really protective of that explore feed. So I think the first thing is to say, let's not assume it's equal. Let's not assume a view on Reels is the same as a view on IGTV, especially when it keeps looping and it's the same person over and over again, because that would be common. Nonetheless, the thing that I think is advantageous about Reels versus IGTV out of the gate is that when they launched Reels, they redid the entire app. They literally changed the main little home feed that was the middle lower button to the Reels feed, and they moved the home feed off to the side. That alone should give us some kind of anecdotal evidence of how much they care about that. With IGTV, they created a separate app that had its own feed that nobody that I'm aware of downloaded or used. Did you guys ever use that app?
I didn't even know that.
I didn't even know it.
I never used it.
Yeah.
Like, remember when it first came out, in the top right corner, they had a little TV tube icon. Yeah. You had to click that, and then you go into a feed for IGTV, which was the same feed as what you would have seen if you had the standalone IGTV app, which still exists today. Hmm. So IGTV, which is why I always say, whether it's a reel or an IGTV, you got to press that share to feed button when you're uploading so that it goes to the main home feed, because that's where your followers are likely to see the content. But Reels out of the gate gives you potential exposure to a way wider array of an audience. Notwithstanding, IGTV and Reels and stories and post from the main feed are still all going into the Explore feed. So the Explore feed, like if I look at my analytics, the Explore feed is still a chunk of all my viewership. And stop me if I'm going too fast or too deep on this stuff.
Yeah, this is great.
But
yeah,
I think with IGTV, I would say, yes, it still matters. Like for example, you mentioned Taya's 2 cents. Well, that's IGTV. Now it's IGTV shared to her feed, and we basically have an Instagram to everywhere strategy, which is what I typically promote. I tend to see Instagram, this is just my own point of view, as a home base for content. And the reason I see it that way is because A, that's where I've got the biggest following, so this is self-serving. B, because Instagram has a wide product set. They've got their long form videos for IGTV, which I could argue this has been a defensive evolution for Instagram from the get-go. When Instagram came out, it was a photo filtering app. And look how they've evolved. And given their parent company of Facebook, I'm not surprised to see that evolution. So they launched stories to compete with Snapchat. They launched IGTV to compete with, I would say, YouTube slash Facebook Watch. They launched Reels to compete with TikTok. This is what they tend to do. They just, and they've got their guides that they've launched that I'm not really sure who they're competing with other than Pinterest, perhaps, which probably is true. Probably Pinterest is who they're competing with there. They're trying to be the end all be all social networking app. I think you'll have the most success if you can feed all of their egos in terms of IGTV or Reels or whatever. So with Taya, I'm using her as an example, not taking credit for it. I'm a party at the table is all that it is.
Yeah.
She's got Taya's Two Cents, which is her IGTV first distributed everywhere, longer form pro tip series, 1 to 3 minutes long. So it's made for IGTV. And then she's got Taya Tells All, which is the newer series we started earlier this year, given the rise of, actually it started with Glenda Baker. Glenda Baker was freaking killing it on TikTok. She had a series called Sugar Spice Real Estate Advice. And it was getting 500,000 plus views, just telling crazy stories of her veteran experience of being an agent. 60 seconds. They were amazing. And what was clever about them is they worked for TikTok so well because the way we would shoot them, and this is her videographer to get credit and her, this was kind of her idea, is she's not quite looking at the camera. It's almost like the camera, like she's looking off slightly and the camera staring at her. So it was just lit. It was like you were a fly in the wall, just listening to these stories. And we packaged those for Reels. And then the conversation was, given the success of those, Taya, we probably need a Reels-based show too. And that's when she came up with Taya Tells All, which is a similar concept. And we're seeing those things happen all over the place. So here's my point. Tom said you need a once a week video show. I agree, as a minimum standard. If you want to level up, you can look at like Chris Benjamin is doing this too. He's crushing his, I don't know if you follow Chris, K-R-Y-S Benjamin on Instagram. He's killing it.
Yeah.
He's doing Reels like just about every day. He's putting them out and he's got a videographer on staff and he's doing his IGTV. But I would say like, let's go back to Taya. She's got her once a week, Taya's Two Cents, IGTV. And then she's got her basically twice a week, 30-second Reels, Taya Tells All stories that are going out everywhere. And she's basically appeasing every feature that Instagram cares about. And that's why she's growing rapidly. I mean, she's growing
rapidly. Yeah. And it seems like, I mean, the Reels are good, like you were saying, to fetch new followers, new people who might not have come to your page. And then the IGTV and the longer form video is kind of like, okay, the more loyal, okay, we're here because of you. And now we want this because we we want the more.
And I think Eric, you're making the point, like, are we seeing an attrition of attention span? Reels are only 30 seconds. We're seeing that like people just won't watch IGTV. I don't know that I am. If I was basing it off of me alone, I don't have any stats on hand to support it one way or the other. You know, it's funny. I just posted a video the other day and typically I do a teaser to try to drive people to the YouTube video because I've operated under the assumption that the content is too long and too detailed for Instagram. And yet I didn't have the teaser and I pushed it out anyways. So I gave the full video on IGTV on Instagram and it outperformed. So I'm like, I think it depends. I think just mix it up and let it roll.
I think Matt and I have talked about this before, but one of the main problems with IGTV is you have to click away from it. So, you know, you have that 15 second and then you have to do another click.
Keep
so you
watching.
Still have to say, and then also if you exit out of the app, and this actually happened yesterday. Yesterday I was doing pushups, 300 pushups. And I was listening to
you. I don't believe you.
But... Well, I mean, over a time period of the day.
Of what, 3 days?
No, the entire day.
Okay, cool.
That's still 100 pushups a day.
Yeah, all right.
300 a day. And I was actually listening to your IGTVs and you do a great job at 15 seconds. There's a little music right afterwards and then it goes to the actual video. But same thing happened to me. I put my phone down, started doing the pushups. It logged off the app or it just like went away. And then I couldn't hear what you were saying. So I actually went to YouTube because YouTube could still play in that app. So I think that's a major problem with it is people's attention spans, not necessarily with the video itself, but even when you're watching a video on YouTube, I'm scrolling through Twitter. I'm looking at Instagram. I'm on like five different apps at once. I'm checking my cryptocurrency five times every single minute. So
there's
just so much that I'm doing that I feel like if somehow IGTV could implement that feature with YouTube where you could still listen to it or watch it, that would be beneficial.
That would be good. It's a clever idea. We should tell them about that idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be listening to this.
Yeah, they'll listen. Yeah,
I think it's reason why you should be just like, I know a lot of people are like, no, you got to create content unique for YouTube and content unique for Instagram. And I'm like, no, you got to sell houses and you got to have a life. And so I'm more interested in creating your content and then distributing it everywhere optimized for each respective platform and let people pick and choose where they want to consume. That's my vantage point.
Yeah. So what's the angle, do you think, with shorts now? I know Eric had a couple, he wanted to dive quick more into shorts as well, but yeah what do you think they're
growing our YouTube channel for sure.
Yeah. But what's their angle, you know, because they're the main place for long form video. Why do you think they're rolling this out now? And do you think it's beneficial to get onto it?
Well, I think this is, so my answer is purely conjecture in terms of why I think they're doing it. What I know is I know they're beta testing in India and a couple of other places right now with YouTube Shorts at the time we're filming this. I suspect they're going to have some kind of a rollout for their mobile app where it's kind of like Reels and TikTok, where there's a built-in builder of some type. Right now, there isn't that. At least I haven't seen that. I haven't heard about it being rolled out, but I haven't gone to research it in like a month or two. So right now, the only way we can here in the States or North America can pretty much upload shorts is in your title, you literally say hashtag shorts or hashtag short. It can be singular or plural. It'll pick it up. And their system scans through it and automatically playlists it on your channel in shorts. And it's only visible in mobile, or if you go to all video uploads, you can see it there. I've had some people say, like, I think it's a little tacky looking. It messes up your channel on desktop to see these like vertical only letterboxed kind of videos. I'm like, whatever. That doesn't bother me per se.
Yeah.
I would suspect they're doing it to compete. I mean, I think when you look at what TikTok's doing, the rapid, insane growth, they didn't feel like they had to compete completely with Snapchat, only they did offer that shelf where it was kind of like story-esque stuff. And then it's now evolved more where I think it's sort of along the lines of they've got to be ready to compete with short form vertical content.
Yeah.
There's an insatiable appetite for that. And I think what's interesting about TikTok compared to other platforms is that it's also, there's a lot of how-to on TikTok. You know, you think about like Facebook and you think about Instagram, you think about traditional social networks and they're social networks. I think YouTube, and this is again, just me speculating, YouTube has really owned the search bar. I go to YouTube I might look at the explore feed and browse features and just see what's popular and whatever. And I might be subscribed to channels and get alerts. And maybe I'm a belled subscriber to some channel and see their stuff, but it's owned by Google. It's the second most popular search engine on the planet. They've owned search. And if they intend on maintaining that position of supremacy of all things search, now they're up against TikTok, where people are going to learn things. Like I have people I follow on TikTok where, and I'll admit I'm not the most active on TikTok in terms of content, but I do follow people on TikTok. I get a lot of quick little hacks and ideas. So that's a thought about why. Eric, you look like you have a thought. Do you want to chime in?
Well, no, I agree because I search everything on YouTube. Everything education-wise, everything I learned about social media, I search on YouTube. And TikTok is great for education because people on TikTok teach you about TikTok on TikTok, about how to get more views.
I follow some guy, I can't think of who it is, about hacks that I didn't know about for my iPhone.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, tons and tons of followers and stuff, but I'm like, I didn't know you could do that or that or that. And so there's definitely this how-to-esque thing. So I think it makes sense for YouTube. And I also think they're trying to give reason to their mobile app. Because that's the other element here is they're mostly a desktop-based platform. We continue to see every year, we've been seeing it for the last 10 or 15 years or whatever, the emergence of mobile, maybe not 15, but close to it, more and more mobile adoption. And so the YouTube mobile app, they need to be able to compete. I think this is strictly it's a defensive strategy to compete and maintain position. That's my thought.
That makes sense. And we wanted to pick your brain as kind of a free coaching session with our YouTube channel. So we've done 20 episodes now of the Over Ask podcast.
Okay.
We've had some good views with like Ryan Serhant, Jordan Cohen, Mauricio. And, you know, we think these are kind of name driven, but we're not getting consistent views on YouTube. And we're getting kind of like less than 100 on some of these.
On some. Yeah. Most people listen on Apple or Spotify. That's where we're finding most of our stuff. And our Instagram's growing despite we don't actually have Reels on our Instagram page, on our Over Ask page. It's like a weird
a glitch.
Yeah, it's a glitch that
happens. Have you heard of this, Jason, where an Instagram just doesn't have a feature?
Yeah, we don't have Reels. We don't have Reels on Over Ask.
I'm trying to remember what it was. I looked it up. It's usually, which one didn't have it? Who was it?
Our Over Ask podcast page. Instagram.
What device did you download the app on? Is it on one of your phones?
Yeah.
Is it You know, I'd only heard about that through the lens of typically you haven't updated the app or something like that. I Googled it and it was usually you have to update the app, but if you have the updated app, that's a little bit funny.
Yeah,
it's frustrating.
I don't know.
It's weird.
Yeah, but for YouTube channel, we're doing, we haven't done thumbnails yet. So we're getting all of, that's why we asked for your headshot. So we're trying to get thumbnails and trying to have like a more explosive image that actually captures the audience. But what's the strategy with hashtags, posting time? Like, how do we get more subscribers? How do we get more?
Yeah, so I'm looking at your channel now. So this Dan O'Neill podcast you guys did had 2.1 thousand views a week ago. What's up with that?
He shared it to his Instagram story. I share it to my Instagram story. He's got a huge following.
So all the traffic was people clicking in to go watch it based upon that.
Yeah. And I'm trying to direct people more towards Apple Podcasts because that's how most people like to listen to podcasts. Yeah. So I'm not doing swipe ups for the YouTube.
Yeah.
So I think that has something to do with it too. But I just thought like with YouTube, if you post consistently that you start.
I see some obvious things here. So like I'm looking at your channel. It's on the Broke Agent's channel. So it does not have his own channel, which is fine, but YouTube's going to start to gather a sense about who you are. So I'm clicking on the about.
I haven't updated this in a while, I don't think.
No, you haven't. So it's like, but you have it there. I would ask you a couple of starting questions about the channel itself. Is who does YouTube think your audience is with your channel? I was having a coaching session this morning with one of my clients and we were talking about this because he's got content that can go like, he's like a fork in the road of content where he's got this influence, but then that influence, agent facing influence, but then consumer driven influence. And so we're asking the question on YouTube, are we creating a confused YouTube? Because YouTube's trying to figure out from with its browse features, explore features and all that stuff. It's not just YouTube search, it's the other stuff. Does YouTube fully understand what kind of videos you make in your channel so it knows where to throw them up on the main home screens and stuff like that? So your description matters. The other videos speak about what each video is about. If you have some videos that have like a ton of views and the other ones don't, YouTube's likely to start forming a bias of what your channel is about based upon those heavy hitter videos. Your channel tags, how you tag your channel matters a little bit. But really let's talk about YouTube in general as a search engine. I think for anybody trying to break into YouTube, which includes me, I'm putting a podcast out next week with Andrew Can from TubeBuddy. I learned a lot from that guy during that interview, a lot about YouTube. So YouTube cares about a couple of main things in terms of its search side of it, because it is a search engine predominantly, and it also has some social features like the Explore feed and whatnot. They care about two metrics. They care about click-through rate and they care about retention or watch time. So for example, if somebody does a search for OverAsk podcast, and let's say that maybe five of your videos rank at the top of that search, and then some other video ranks. So I scroll past all five of your videos and I click on somebody else's video. I am signaling YouTube that they should not have ranked your videos on those keywords. So just like Google, it's keyword driven. So what entices somebody to click boils down to the title. Does the title grab their attention? Does the thumbnail grab their attention? Does it reinforce that, yes, I should click this open based upon the relevance of it and my search? So I would say like you got to level up your thumbnails. You need to really crush it with your titles. Your titles should have a clear keyword. If you're not using TubeBuddy as a tool, I would totally go get it.
TubeBuddy?
TubeBuddy. It's a browser extension that integrates into your YouTube, and it can give you all kinds of SEO about YouTube. So for example, I could type in a search in the YouTube search bar, and it can tell me how many videos are there for that search, what order do they rank in, where am I likely to rank if I make a video for that search based upon my channel. It can tell you all those analytics and it can help you optimize your keywords. And it can basically say, hey, this is a low search, but nobody's made videos for it. Or it can say, hey, this is a high search and there are tons of videos for it. And it can tell you like the sweet spot of you're looking for a lot of search activity and not a lot of people making videos for it, puts me at the top ranking position. So I would say like do some SEO or some search analysis on like right now you're calling these things OverAsk number 18. Your only keywords is the OverAsk podcast.
We're trying to be like Joe Rogan. We looked at the Joe Rogan experience and we were like,
we figured we're kind of right behind Rogan. So
I guess the thing I would say is Joe Rogan has it all and the fact that it's Joe Rogan.
Oh.
So by the time freaking strong, people are searching for it. You know what I mean? Right. Like Gary Vee can get away with that too. Tom Ferry can get away with that. Yeah. I can't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people can't broke agent, pronounce my name. Yeah.
The Broke Agent can't get away with that at this point. No, I mean, clearly, look, we're getting 40 views per episode on our YouTube.
Yeah, here, so. there's There is demand for you. People talk about you. You're a known quantity. Perhaps
yeah, me too.
Do people say good things? Do people say good things?
Me too, right, guys?
Do people say good things?
Absolutely, you too. Absolutely, Matt. Matt, you're like the up and coming, man. Like, you've come in really fast.
I come in hot.
People are talking about your content a lot right now.
Oh, at least awesome.
In my little circles. So I would say, like, you got to name these podcasts. But I would adopt a nomenclature where it's like, keyword, do a little pipe, and then over-ask number 18, over-ask number 19, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
Your tags, when you do the video tags, they should not, like, don't try to add things that aren't in the title to try to reinforce it. That confuses YouTube. You want your tags to only support the title. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep. Otherwise, it's kind of like how Instagram hashtags about are. This or that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I should take out the little Nas X Montero hashtag that I put in our last video to try to capitalize on his stature. Okay.
That's your takeaway? Yes. Yes.
Okay. Got it.
That's that awesome.
It's kind of a spamish behavior, or maybe it makes YouTube scratch their head and think, like, is this really about this?
Because
YouTube's a search engine more than anything. They care about ranking videos that support what the user's searching for. That's their relevance proposition.
Yeah.
So click-through rate matters. That means good-looking thumbnails. People click it. But then the other thing, the other side of the coin is, how long are they watching your videos? If somebody has clicked your video to watch it and then they bounce after 5 seconds, YouTube's point of view is, whoa, this video did not fulfill the promise it must have offered based upon the title and the thumbnail. Therefore, we're going to demote it. So you got to really watch, are people hanging in there to watch your videos? Which means you should be protective of where you promote these YouTube videos. This is the thing I've been thinking about is, look, clearly, just like you, I'm going to get more traffic off of Instagram than anywhere else. However, I would argue that the general point of view of somebody on Instagram or Facebook is they're scrolling, they're not searching. And because they're scrolling, they're probably not looking to park for too long on any one piece of content. And so if I quickly link them over to my YouTube channel with that mindset of, I'm going to give this 5 seconds and then bounce, that actually probably hurts me more than it helps me. Does it make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's watch time and it's click-through rate and all the things that lead into that.
So, okay. Good looking thumbnails. So
there are titles that are clear and concise. Don't try to confuse keywords.
Okay. You can tell me to write this down. I know. I mean, we could just rewatch this episode.
We'll rewatch it.
I feel like you're my golf coach telling me a bunch of swing thoughts right before I.
This is incredible. Do we have to Venmo you? Do we have to pay you for this?
Speak with Andrew Kahn. This is all I'm at. I'm just doing it.
This is such good information.
Do we need to pay you for this? I don't know. Should we wire you something or?
No, it's free coaching.
Incredible.
Yeah, we'll be good.
Free coaching. Okay, cool. Well, that's great information. I just want to go back. Eric, Jason was saying everyone's talking about me right now.
I wanted to hear. You said everyone's talking about me, Jason. Are they saying
Clearly, you said.
Yeah, but he said me first, and they said that your content's doing great.
You've been around. You've been around.
I know, but I just want to make sure, Jason, when people are talking about me, are they saying good things? Or are they like, I don't know what that guy's doing?
No, they're saying great things about you. They're saying you're a swell guy. They love you.
A swell guy.
Yeah, you're swell. That's the words.
Literally in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
The affliction in your voice said about you, like it wasn't about me. They're saying good stuff about me as well, or they're just talking about me.
They're saying that you're the up and coming new broke agent. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh man, can you say anything worse to me?
I'm just saying, no.
No, that's what we want. You know, we want, it's all about promotion and marketing. Yeah, people.
I was actually showing somebody your videos yesterday on one of my coaching sessions. Cause I actually thought, I think you have a very clever shtick with some of your video, like with Kim, the person that you never actually see.
Yeah.
And she's always there, but you never see her. I was like, that's so brilliant. Cause it's just a little gimmick you can do every single time.
Yeah.
And it sets you up to jump right into whatever the topic is. I think that's a really creative format.
Awesome.
One of my Ben Balak, he's a Beverly Hills agent. He's the one who turned me on to your stuff, and I was just dying laughing when I saw it.
Yeah, awesome, man. I appreciate
I actually discovered your content really in the last 6 months. I haven't been following you as long.
Yeah,
I've been following Eric for years, and I think, I mean, this isn't meant to be just like a flatter fest, but I really think both of you guys make amazing content.
We appreciate it.
I find myself laughing out loud. I think you bring a lot of humor to the industry. I think you both have a way of sort of putting your finger on what a lot of people are feeling and just making it hilarious, but you're different at the same time. You know, Eric, your memes, nobody's going to ever top those.
That's exactly what I always say. Yeah.
Nobody's going to ever top those.
Thank you.
I do think Matt's videos, there's a lot of unique qualities about how you're doing videos.
Okay, I thought you were going to say people will top those. No, no, those videos, people will top those, but the memes, never.
Never, you can't touch the meme. But
Jason, Jason, the Broke Agent is not just a meme page. We are a media conglomerate. We have a podcast. We have.
I was about to say that.
Well, we have a book that Tom never read that no one's read, apparently. Well, I'm doing more reels myself, too. I'm getting my face in front of the camera.
I think you should be reaching out to Paramount Plus. I hear they're looking for content. You should get like your own little series on Paramount Plus.
That's a good idea, actually.
Do you have contact there?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
You can figure it out. You live in LA, right?
Yeah.
He is. Yeah, I'm in Toronto.
No, I don't know anybody.
Yeah, he probably knows.
You should get to know some people.
Yeah. But I mean, I've been locked in this basement for the last.
This isn't you know, we appreciate all the kind words about us, but this is about you, Jason. And now I want to pivot to you guys, Tom Ferry coaching, last 8 years, top real estate coaching in the world. Now, I have questions here because like we were saying earlier on, I just did some videos on it. Everyone's a coach. Everyone's a coach now. And everyone, it seems like a lot of people's business plan is actually just to belittle Tom Ferry coaching. They're just trying to make it like it's not as good as it really is. And everyone's kind of after their business plan is to make you guys look bad. And they're doing free coaching and all this bullshit, you know? So how do you stay on top? And what do you think of these type of people who, like I said, everyone's a coach now. So how do you stay on top? Why are people still coming to Tom Ferry? Because clearly you guys are doing something right that other people aren't.
I don't mean this to be a conceited or completely oblivious kind of comment, but I don't really think about the other people. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's going to be your strategy, is to give Tom Ferry press and use him as the gold standard and tell us how he's not good. How's that working for you?
Yeah.
So I don't really think about them. I mean, yes, I've acknowledged and seen like everybody, like somebody sells one for sale by owner and suddenly they got a coaching program and an ebook download and they got their own podcast. And that's the world of media we live in. That's just media.
Yeah.
That's what it is. How do we stay top is we focus on our clients. We focus on helping people sell more houses, whatever that takes. I think part of the stickiness of our ecosystem is the ecosystem of the clients. It is the Tom Tools, Taya DeCarlos, Gary Golds, and all the people who contribute to it beyond Tom. It's a network of people who have amazing ideas rallied around Tom's leadership in terms of what are the top ideas? How do I implement? I would argue that our coaching clients are typically the first to adapt to changes in the marketplace. They're the ones who see things coming in, whether it's an economic change or it's a marketing type of change. I think we keep our eyes on the prize and we focus on where things are moving better than anybody else. And that's evidenced by the fact that our clients outproduce everybody else in other coaching programs and that we have more clients and more retention of our clients. So, I mean, I'm not trying to defend it. I just don't really think about what other people are doing. All I think about is the people I coach. And I know that's what our other coaches think about is the people they coach. And I think that's why we do well. Is that too lame of an answer?
No, that's a great
answer. Not at all.
And to touch upon it one more time, just the Tom Ferry conferences are so fun. And I go not even to learn anything. I go to drink and hang out with people and network. And the community that you've built and your coaching clients, it's just so fun. And I'm in a group text with Robert Mack and Tom Tool and these guys. And it's just great to like keep that going and look forward to the summit every single year. And is the one going to be in person in August or is that going to be virtual?
I'm not sure how it's been announced yet since they haven't told me what I can't say. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yes. How's that? Was that a good answer?
Yes.
A little hybrid answer.
Yes. Well, that's perfect.
Here's the thing I will say, because you guys are clearly on top. Like I said, there's a lot of people and they're like, oh, we're going to do this for free and we're going to coach this and that. And the thing is you guys are just at the end of the day, good people and people want to work with good people more than anything, right? This asshole on the left here who says, you know, oh, I'll do it for free, you know, but you're an asshole. I don't like you as a person, but that's people. I really feel that people need to like you to go any further before you can even show them how educated you are and all that stuff. They need to like you before anything, or Jason, they're not even going to give you the time of day.
Super likable guy. Like I met you when I did the Byron podcast. Remember you came up and I was just like, this guy's great. Your vibes, you have a friendly face, perfectly symmetrical, good hair.
Oh yeah, there's some people who just they have that face you want to punch.
Yeah, you have a very friendly.
Don't have
I
that
think there'd
face.
Be plenty of people who would argue that's me, but that's
not at all.
I don't think
not
so.
At all.
I would have said that by
I
now.
I would it's say very... more Eric for sure, but you're good. Yeah,
punchable. Certainly not symmetrical, but
no. But the thing is it's you're likable and you're genuinely likable. That's but really because there's people who put on a whole thing to try and act like they're your best friend, but you can see through that bullshit now. You're a genuinely nice person. You could tell.
Yeah, I want to fly out to Tennessee and live with you.
I agree.
I don't know if you can live with me, but you can hang out.
Yeah, I'll just I'll just kind of
get a restraining order.
Bit, look at what kind of hashtags you're putting on YouTube, that type of thing.
Yeah, well,
maybe
we
could play. Maybe we could play catch or something. throw the ball around.
The thing is, like with being likable and Tom, I'll say this as just kind of an inside scoop on how I think he, like, what is one mechanistic way that he goes about getting coaches who kind of carry on that idea? Because that's a principle of his, is just caring about the client. Our number one metric is coaches, and there's like 150 plus coaches of Tom Ferry. Our metric that we get graded on the most is client retention. In other words, we're not interested. It's a 12-month coaching contract with us. There are guarantees in terms of performance that you'll be able to achieve or we'll give your money back. We're not interested in stealing somebody's money for 12 months. We get graded as coaches on our ability to renew coaching contracts. Do you stay with us for the next year and the next year and the next year? He actually, like, this is probably more information than I should share. He increases pay to coaches based upon our ability to retain clients because he values longevity. And so I think the fact that he puts those measures in place are part of how he manages and leads us in that direction. Like, there are safeguards to make sure this is not a one-hit wonder type of coaching program. We're the number one coaching program because we're focused on keeping people for life. How do we do that? By helping, we gotta be likable. We have to put their business first. We have to be able to produce results with them so they actually have the justification for the expense. Otherwise, it's just an expense. So anyways, I just wanted to add that little bit about
it. So they add pay every time you keep... That's why you're in the nice studio, eh? We see what's going on now. You got
I'm
nice
in my basement.
Studio in your Nashville. Well, you live beside Keith Urban, Nicole Kidman. Is that where you are?
That's totally where you're at? Yeah. Justin Timberlake's on the other side over there.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's awesome, man. Well, no, I just did a video about bashing how everyone's a coach. And I said, don't talk to me unless you're Tom Ferry.
I watched it.
Yeah.
I watched the video. I liked
That's
it.
For
I'm
you
not
guys.
Sure.
That's for you guys. I'm on your side at all times. If you ever need me to go to bat for you, you want me as a coach?
I'll hook you up with our PR team. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I will also go to bat
for you.
What you
wish for.
Yeah. Hey, anything you need, I'm always ready. If you say, like, you can give me some behind the scenes, like, Matt, this guy's really, he's trying to come after us. I'll take him out. We'll take him. Not physically. I'm 5'9", 150 pounds, but online. Me
but
and Eric can get it done.
Bigger than that. You got a big talk. It's really bites.
I got some big talk. I got
Matt,
some
you're
wit.
You're constantly making us look soft in these podcasts. Every time we bring up fights or anything, we talk about what cowards we are. We
I
need
don't,
to.
I wouldn't fight. I'm not going to go fight someone if they don't like Tom Ferry, but I will go to bat for Jason and Tom.
Yeah, with
any
our
day
words.
Of the week.
We will verbally blast them on social media. Is what we're saying.
It's good to know I got you in my corner.
Yeah.
Words, I mean, words go a long way these days, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's where the real muscle is.
We'll do it tastefully.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
That's awesome. Jason, I mean, this has been one of my favorite podcasts, I think. There has been so much knowledge. I feel like we should pay you. This is incredible. I mean, I'm going to watch this, I think, 3 or 4 times to just write down all the notes. And you're going to see everyone. You're going to see in the next couple months, our YouTube is going to go through the roof.
It is.
I can't wait, man. Let's see it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So we really thank you for being on, man. We really, really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Love what you guys are doing and wishing everybody listening or watching very good success.
Thanks, you. Jason. And Eric, you can ask your final question that you ask everybody.
Yeah. Hey Jason, where can the people follow you?
I am on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, across the board, Jason Pantana, Pantana. Love to connect with you there. Shoot me a note, DM me, and let me know how I can be a resource.
Amazing.
It's a great name too, Jason.
I was just saying, Pantana.
Sound like a starting pitcher for the Rockies or something.
Well, the thing is, you should get a shirt done in the Pantera logo.
Do you know me? Like, growing up, we'd be like Applebee's or something like that, and we were always Pantera, party of four. Yeah. That was my life growing up. So
get that in the font, the Pantera font. I'll make. Oh, yeah, I'll wear that.
What if we were wearing, you know, Jason Pantana jerseys?
There you
that
go.
Could be the payment.
All right.
Yeah. Would you be weirded out if at the next Tom Ferry Summit I was sitting in the front row in a Pantana jersey? Or would you?
I would think be that flattered. Was
cool? Maybe.
Okay. I would be flattered.
I'll do Ferry. You do Pantana.
Okay.
Okay. Sweet.
And then pipes, and then
Ferris. Holloway.
It's like a great baseball lineup. I feel like it's big names. Bill Pipes go. Also
Holloway
great
does player. Sound like a good baseball name.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Well, right, thanks,
anyways,
Jason.
we're notorious for not knowing how to end these. So yeah. Thanks so much for coming on, Jason. We appreciate
thanks, guys.
It.
Appreciate it. You have a good one. See ya.
Take care.
See ya.
Wow. That was something.
Forgot to record it.
Yeah, no, it's recording. I know it is.
That was so good.
Oh, dude, I fucking love Jason.
He's incredible. And the amount of knowledge that he had compared to the amount of knowledge I thought I had about social media,
dude.
Just the way he talks about retention time, the click through, how on Instagram, the average user is just kind of looking to scroll through quickly and definitely not click to another app or something like that. Everything he said was just straight fire. Like there's
that was sick. I didn't even think of that. And then you're thinking now like, okay, well maybe I should start doing some more IGTV. Maybe it is better to do, you know, some reels, some IGTV, some, he's unreal.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I was trying to get to the shorts question because before we started, Eric's like, I have a good YouTube shorts question. And then we were talking about social media for fucking seemed like an hour and you never came out with the shorts. So I was trying to lead you into it. And then eventually you never went. So I said, what's your angle on shorts, Jason?
Well, no. The conversation was flowing perfectly.
It was flowing, but I thought you were going to get into the shorts.
I wanted to get into the YouTube building question, which I did.
You did.
Got into it the shorts good. Section. So I wanted him to help us with our YouTube channel, which he certainly did already.
Yes.
And I am actually going to watch this back and look at that. What is that? Dude Buddy or Buddy Tube? Whatever the hell that is. It sounds like a
Tube Buddy.
Tube Buddy. Okay. Yeah. That could be a dangerous search.
I don't know what that is. I was going to say. That was good. Well, I mean, I think for everyone listening, if you are looking for a coach, and this, you know, they're not asking us to say this, clearly the guy has his fucking shit together. Jesus.
Yeah, he definitely has his shit together.
Seriously, like he's so knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Dude, like, I mean, and you can see from the success of his, he's very humble, but you can see from the success of his other agents that he's coaching, like Taya, stuff like that. So, I mean, I would definitely... we'll put some links in the bottom, right? For the Tom Ferry coaching.
Yeah, we will. And in preparation for this podcast, I was watching all of his content. He gives, like, you actually should follow him because he gives a lot of this information away.
Yeah. So
he has on his IGTVs, he talks about how to do Facebook ads. He talks about Instagram reels. He gives you ideas. He shows you examples. His YouTube keynote was, or the Dippy Deep Dive.
Dippity deep dive.
I'll be glad to never say
dippity
that
do gel. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That was, I mean, I knew it was going to be good just because his focus seems to be content and that's what we like to talk about. But that was beyond expectation.
It was a fresh look on things that we haven't talked about before.
Yeah, because usually we're the experts.
Yeah. Which is scary.
That is scary. I mean, I think I'm going to cancel my Reels ebook after that one. Took us to
school. Yeah, that's coming soon.
That'll be out in October. It's been coming out next week for the last 40 weeks.
I know, I've been waiting for it.
It's coming.
I heard I got a full page in it.
You did?
A full page?
Not a full page, I provide a ton of examples of real estate agents that are doing different things on Reels. Taya's on there. You're on there. Peter Zorkin?
Torkin?
Torkin is on there.
Nice.
Yeah.
He'll be happy about that.
He won't give a shit. He won't even know.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
Okay, cool.
We're going to have some cool, and we have some cool guests. I know I keep saying it, but we have some cool guests. And once we stop recording, I'm going to talk to Eric about booking some cool guests.
Just tell me now.
We're recording. No one can know.
Are they in the real estate sphere?
No, I haven't really. It's just people we've been talking about.
Oh, okay. The Jonas Brothers.
No, I knew. Yeah. Post Malone.
Right.
And Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine we had Tekashi 6ix9ine on here. Like, just...
I think his career at that point would be over.
Yeah, he'd be done. He'd be done. I mean, I think, yeah.
We're not the Breakfast Club.
True. I know, that's sick. Breakfast Club's awesome. But we could probably end this a little sooner than now. Because this is really, it's getting bad quick.
You want to do your tagline?
Well, folks, y'all take care now.